Chapter 8. 45 minutes later, Harold staggered into his apartment building. The bus was late, and he knew Grandma would be angry. "What am I going to tell her?" he thought, making sure there was no blood on his chin. "I'm running out of excuses." He walked down the hall and noticed his apartment door was open. Then he heard someone crying. Harold dropped his backpack and ran inside. "Grandma!" he yelled. She was lying on the kitchen floor, clutching her leg and shivering. Her crutches were strewn next to her, and blood trickled from her wound, soaking the white bandage. Cindy was kneeling beside her. Tears streamed down her frightened face.
"Harold!" Cindy cried. "She fell! I heard her yelling from my apartment."
Harold dropped to the floor.
"Don't move, Grandma. It's okay. I'm here."
"Where were you?"
Cindy whispered, shooting him an accusatory look.
"She was calling for you."
"Oh, Grandma, I'm so sorry,"
he wailed.
"I'm okay,"
Grandma said slowly, pressing her hand to her forehead. Her eyes were slightly glazed, and she slurred her words.
"I needed something to eat. Must have slipped. I don't remember."
"Should we call an ambulance?"
Cindy asked. He could hear the terror in her voice.
"I don't know,"
Harold cried, staring helplessly at Grandma's pained face. He tried to remember what the doctors at the hospital told him, but his mind was a blur of panic.
"I don't know what to do. This is all my fault," he thought. "I was supposed to be here."
Harold raced down the hallway and banged on Mr. Harris's door.
"Please," he pleaded, "please be home."
"What's wrong?"
Mr. Harris said as he opened the door.
"Grandma fell,"
Harold yelled.
"She's on the floor."
Mr. Harris ran to Harold's apartment and crouched beside Grandma.
"Can you move?"
he asked softly, touching her leg.
I think so, she answered. "I'm a little dizzy."
"Harold, get me some juice from the fridge," Mr. Harris commanded, his voice calm and focused. "Cindy, bring me a pillow and blanket."
Cindy rushed to Grandma's room and returned with her pillow and comforter. Harold's hands were shaking uncontrollably. He grabbed a glass and filled it with orange juice, spilling much of it on the counter.
"Here,"
he said, handing it to Mr. Harris.
"Should I call an ambulance?"
"I don't think we need to,"
he replied as he propped up her head with a pillow and covered her with the blanket.
"Go into the living room with Cindy and wait there. She's going to be okay. She just needs to get her blood sugar up. My aunt was the same way." "Come on, Mrs. Rose. You need to drink some juice."
Harold and Cindy paced in the living room while Mr. Harris calmly talked to Grandma.
"Where were you?"
Cindy whispered, her voice a mixture of anger and worry.
"What happened to your chin?"
"It's nothing," he replied.
There was no way he could tell her the truth.
"I fell."
"Harold, I need your help,"
Mr. Harris said after a few moments. Grandma seemed more alert, and Mr. Harris gently sat her up.
"Now just put your arms around my neck," he said as he crouched in front of her, locking his arms around her waist. "On the count of three now," he continued, hoisting her up off the floor.
Harold picked up her crutches, and together they led her carefully to her bedroom. Then Mr. Harris had Harold bring her a plate of sliced apples and cheese, which she ate hungrily, while he cleaned and changed her bandage.
"I'm so sorry,"
Harold said, guilt stabbing at his chest.
"I'll never be late again. I swear it." "We'll talk about it tomorrow,"
she said in a sad voice.
"I need to rest now."
Harold was furious at himself for talking to Londell, for ever thinking he could trust him.
"All I wanted to do was help. Instead, I made things worse,"
he thought as he turned off the light and gently closed her bedroom door. And yet there was no way to escape Londell. He'd be waiting again Monday with more drugs to sell. Harold's head pounded with stress.
"She'll be fine," assured Mr. Harris as Harold stepped into the hallway. "I'll be by tomorrow to check on her and to take you to the grocery store."
"Thanks,"
Harold said, his mind spinning.
"Sorry for bothering you, I mean."
"It's not a bother," he replied. "I'm just up the hall if you need me."
Harold changed his t-shirt and went back into the living room. Cindy was sitting on the couch. He could tell she was waiting for him.
Is she going to be okay?
Cindy asked. Harold plopped down wearily next to her.
Yeah, I think so, he said, unable to look into her eyes. Thanks for coming over and for those bandages.
I'm sorry, Cindy. Sorry about everything.
Harold, what happened to you?
She said. He could feel her staring at him.
Nothing, he said, leaning back and folding his arms over his head the way he did when he had a bad headache. Anything to hide his face.
The bus back from 25th Street was running late, that's all.
25th Street? Is that where you were? Is that where you got that cut?
Harold shrugged. He didn't want to lie, but the truth was so ugly he couldn't speak it. And then there was Londell's warning not to talk. Harold knew Cindy was safer if she didn't know anything.
So it's going to be like that. You're not even going to talk to me after all this?
Cindy asked, her voice rising in frustration.
You know, Harold, I don't even know who you are anymore. I mean, I used to think I could trust you with anything. You were the only guy I could say that about.
She paused, sighing as if what she had said hurt her. Then she got up and walked toward the door.
But now you're different. You changed since you started talking to Londell. I don't even know what to think now.
He wanted to reach out to her, tell her the truth about everything, and ask her not to leave him alone in the living room. But the words stuck in his throat. Instead, he forced himself to look at her face and stare into her piercing amber eyes.
I'm still the same, Cindy, he managed to say. Remember that, no matter what happens. I didn't change.
Saturday morning, Grandma was unusually quiet. Harold had expected her to yell at him for being so late last night, but she didn't. Instead, she kept watching him, a concerned look on her face.
What happened to your chin?
She asked over breakfast.
Nothing, he replied. I fell. At work.
Grandma looked at him skeptically.
You know you can talk to me, child. If something's wrong, if you're in some sort of trouble...
I'm fine, he replied quickly. Really?
Harold, I know these past few weeks have been hard on you,
she continued, looking up at the faded photograph of her husband.
I know I haven't been myself, with all this nonsense with my leg and my diabetes. But things will get better, baby. I'm feeling stronger every day. In a few weeks, I'll start my physical therapy and I'll get back on my feet, and I'll make sure I test my blood from now on.
Grandma reached across the table and grabbed Harold's hand.
We're gonna be okay,
she insisted in a strong, clear voice. Harold forced himself to smile.
I know,
he lied, touching the painful cut on his chin. Later that afternoon, Harold headed to Superfoods with Mr. Harris. Harold was glad it was the weekend when Mr. Marshall was off as they made their way through the produce aisle, filling their cart with fruits and vegetables. Harold tried to listen as Mr. Harris explained which foods were best for Grandma, but his mind kept wandering. Whenever he closed his eyes, he saw Grandma lying helpless on the cold kitchen floor, little Maria staring at him with her accusing eyes, Londell's knife flashing in the darkness. They were nightmare images Harold couldn't escape, even with Mr. Harris at his side.
You okay?
Mr. Harris asked as they unloaded their groceries at the checkout counter. You're awful quiet today. Harold nodded sadly.
Just tired, I guess.
He liked Mr. Harris a lot. The man made him feel safer, just by being nearby. But he also made him sad inside. No matter how helpful Mr. Harris was, he was just their neighbor. He couldn't solve their problems. He'd move away at some point, Harold figured. Then he and Grandma would be alone again. Harold remembered the family services letter and shuddered. It was just a matter of time before Grandma wouldn't be able to care for him.
And then what?
Harold wondered.
You want to shoot some hoops after we're done here?
Mr. Harris suggested, snapping Harold from his thoughts as they left Superfoods.
Okay,
Harold replied, stopping dead in his tracks. A familiar gold Nissan was parked at the curb in front of them. Londell was sitting in the driver's seat. He stared right at them, his mouth curled into a sneer.
Oh, God,
Harold thought, looking nervously at Mr. Harris. He wanted to run back into the store,
but he couldn't move. Mr. Harris seemed to know something was wrong. He glanced at Harold, then at Londell.
"Who's that, Harold?" he asked, his voice suddenly serious.
Harold shook his head, unable to speak, his eyes locked with Londell's.
"Harold, look at me," Mr. Harris persisted. "Who is that?"
Again, Harold said nothing.
Then Mr. Harris put down the groceries and walked over to the car.
"What's he doing?" Harold thought with a flash of panic. "Londell's gonna kill him."
"Something I can help you with?"
Mr. Harris boomed, staring Londell dead in the eye. Londell looked at him suspiciously.
"You like staring down kids?"
Mr. Harris challenged.
"Mind your business, old man," he hissed.
Mr. Harris didn't budge. He stood there, blocking Londell's view of Harold, his legs slightly apart, his back straight, his shoulders perfectly squared. To Harold, he was like a superhero, unmovable, powerful, unafraid.
"This is my business, young man," said Mr. Harris. "This is my neighborhood, and Harold's with me, so I'm right where I should be."
Mr. Harris leaned in close to Londell, who shifted in his seat.
"Now I suggest you get moving and take that stare of yours somewhere else."
Londell smirked, as if Mr. Harris had said something amusing. But Harold could see a flash of surprise in Londell's dark eyes, maybe even a touch of fear. Just then, Jupiter sprinted around the corner. He stopped when he saw the two men facing off. A brown paper bag peeked out from the waist of his baggy jeans. He glanced back at Harold and then at Mr. Harris.
"What's going on?" he said.
"Get in the car, Jupe," Londell snapped.
Mr. Harris stepped back, giving Jupiter just enough room to climb in next to his brother. Then Londell rolled up the window and pulled away from the curb. As the car passed, Jupiter's eyes met Harold's. He looked worried, like he wished he could stay behind.
"Come on, let's go,"
said Mr. Harris, putting his arm protectively around Harold's shoulders.
"That was awesome,"
Harold thought with a smile. He knew Londell would be furious, but for the moment, Harold didn't care. Mr. Harris had stared Londell down. Harold still couldn't believe it.
"You be careful of that one," Mr. Harris warned. "He's got some fire in him. And who was that other boy?"
"His younger brother,"
Harold said. Mr. Harris shook his head with anger.
"I swear this neighborhood hasn't changed since I was your age."
"You grew up around here?"
Harold asked. Mr. Harris nodded.
3 blocks from here. This place was crawling with dealers back then, too."
"How'd you know he's a dealer?"
"Am I wrong?"
Mr. Harris replied knowingly.
"No,"
Harold admitted, grateful Mr. Harris didn't ask him any questions about Londell.